it's about, yeah, yeah, pretty much living in the past. The whole premise of the show is living in the past.
Well, I got some fucking hilarious stories
about all right.
living in the past. These ones are just ridiculous.
Well, that's one of the reasons I was excited when you showed an interest in being on. I thought it would be here's some good stories.
I think one day we should talk about me being homeless one time. Being home.
It's time to get to work. Yeah, yeah, speaking of.
I don't think I'm going to be speaking up.
Hello, and welcome to the I Never Want to Be Young Again podcast. Third episode, episode number 3. We're pretty proud of the show and how far it's gotten. Please check our website out at ineverwanttobeyoungagain.com. On social media, Facebook, I Never Want to Be Young Again podcast. Soon we're going to have a Twitter page. And please send us mail, any mail. I'd be really excited to get any mail in the Gmail account, ineverwanttobeyoungagain@gmail.com. I'm here with Jeff, spelt with a G.
With a G.
With a G. And I'm Trevor, spelt with a silent H. And we promised you last week Denzel Washington. And apparently he was too busy. He had something going on. He hasn't been in a movie for a while, so I can't imagine what he's doing. But he didn't want to do the show. But we got our other celebrity guest, Drew Tanner.
Hey, 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 how's it going?
Say hi to Drew Tanner. Drew Tanner
hi.
Is a...
Drew Tanner, everybody.
Hello, hello, drum roll.
He is our stand-in for Denzel Washington. Sorry to let you down, but we've got Drew.
I'm a close second, and I'm okay with that.
But Drew Tanner does have a portfolio. He is an actor, and he has a portfolio. I've been doing a little research on him.
Yeah, look at your IMDb. You got many credits.
Thank you, thank you. Yeah.
Many actor credits, not just, like, thanks.
Yeah.
Now, I've known Drew for... 4 or 5 years.
It's been
probably.
Yeah, about 5 years.
You were about You were 21 when we met, and you are.
I was 20 when we met, and I'm 25 now. Yeah.
Yeah, and when we first met, you talked about the acting thing. Everybody wants to support somebody who's doing like musical acting, mm-hmm. like living their dream type shit. I never took it seriously until I was just watching a show when you were on it. That's when I went, oh, like he does this as a job, and it was a speaking role. It was in. I'm embarrassed to say iZombie. I was watching iZombie.
Mm-hmm.
I think I paused it, took a picture. It's been like, who's this handsome man on my TV? Like,
right.
Send it down to you. And that was 2-3 years ago. And since then, you've only been more into it. In fact, you exclusively did it for a while. I know sometimes, as a lot of actors do, you have side gigs.
Right. Yeah.
But there was a time, I think when that came out, you were doing exclusively or going to school, one of the two.
I was going to school at the time. Yeah, and I was auditioning and living in Aldergrove with my mom, and you know, the only thing I had a way of transporting myself around was a motorcycle at the time. So I would huck it from Aldergrove all the way down to Vancouver, just outside Granville Island, and I'd do that like 2 or 3 times a day sometimes just for class and then audition or maybe to film, and it was crazy. That was actually how I crashed on my motorcycle for the very first time. I was coming home from class, and I was so tired. If you are coming off the 264th exit, goes into a roundabout.
Yeah, yeah. Where they hide the roadblocks?
Yeah, where they hide the roadblocks. And they always say that the like, most percentage of car crashes happen, you know, 5 to 10 kilometers away from home. I had just seen the exit, and I was like, oh god, like thank.
I'm 5-10 kilometers from home.
Finally home. It was a long day. I wish it was way more badass, but I dozed off on my motorcycle in the turn. And instead of going, you know, around, I went straight through, and there's a big patch of grass there, so I was lucky to survive. But yeah, that was that time, you know.
So the traveling from, and for those who don't know, Aldergrove is probably 70-80 k from downtown.
It's pretty far. It's you
kilometers,
know,
kilometers. And for American listeners, I don't know what that is in miles.
Yeah, it's a good like hour and a half drive some days.
On a motorcycle to your acting class.
Yeah.
That's like a movie beginning. When the Drew Tanner story comes out, that's how it should start. You going to acting class on your beat up motorcycle in a rainy day and then crashing it.
Yeah, well, the funny thing was you mentioned iZombie. At the time, actually, when I read the script, I don't know if you remember, but the character shows up on a bike, hops off, sees that his wife's getting accused of a murder.
Yes, I remember this part. You were wearing bicycle wear, which was form-fitting.
Right. I thought
I played that over and over.
When I read the script, I thought I was going to be riding a motorcycle. I thought it was going to be so freaking cool. I show up to set. They're like, here's your tights. You want me to wear these?
But I grew stubble for this. Come on.
I was like, you want me to wear this in November? Or like, he was like, yeah. I was like, it was like winter. It was freezing in North Vancouver.
Yeah, we could tell you were cold.
Yeah.
The tights.
I think everyone could tell.
Yeah. But that's what we'll go with. Other credits that you have, I'm just going to review a bit. iZombie being one of them. Zapped.
Mm-hmm.
Arrow. I remember you talking about Arrow.
Yeah, that was fun.
You got Liar, Liar, Vampire. You're a band singer in that. Did you sing?
I had to just prance around and dance on stage and lip sync a song. I've had to do that a few times.
I'm going to YouTube this later.
Yeah.
All of My Heart.
All of My Heart, yeah. That is the movie I played a 30-year-old divorced mechanic from Bucks County, Pennsylvania. So I had to do a lot of research on Bucks County, Pennsylvania in their accent. Character, if you look at there, his name's Rusty.
Yeah, Rusty.
And I was 22, I think, at the time when I booked it.
And 2015 is what's the...
Yeah, 2015, and I was around 22 when we auditioned it. And go into the audition room. Bunch of tall, grizzly white men with blonde hair, blue eyes, and there I am, right?
For the listeners, because this is a radio show, Drew is a picturesque...
Oh, don't say it.
he's a beautiful man, and he's of mixed race.
Here's what we're going to say. Just search my name after the podcast, then you make your judgments. let's just do that now, and then we'll be good.
Type Drew Tanner into Pornhub.
Oh,
and we've had some leaked footage and leaking this after the show.
Exactly.
So more and more current work, though, as I look up, and one I didn't know you had worked on. I remember Supergirl, because mm-hmm. that was fairly recent, and that's 2017. That's right. Supernatural, I wonder if my wife would recognize you in the episode.
Yeah, that was fun.
Power Rangers.
Power Rangers, yeah, great experience.
I'm actually kind of excited to see that movie, I'm not afraid to say.
Oh, absolutely. I think anyone that grew up, like, you know, in the 80s, 90s is a huge fan of Power Rangers. Like, let's be real.
Huge. I was a little old. I was born in 82, but I still watched it because there was nothing else on. Remember, TV sucked back then.
Is there anybody out there that says, I'm more of a VR Troopers kind of guy? You know, like the cheap knockoff versions of, because when Power Rangers was getting super big, other people were trying to, like, bite their
You know what? There is. There are people from small towns who didn't get the good toys. They got all the side stuff.
Not just the toys, but the show. Like, VR Troopers was a shitty show.
You know what? I'd have to listen to the argument if they had a good argument about it, because I don't know enough about the subject.
I definitely think that, like, that show was, like, super cool for kids my age growing up. So being on that set was, like, unbelievable.
Yeah, it's kind of nostalgic for you.
Yeah, if you watch the movie, like, unfortunately, they cut out a lot of my stuff. But I do get shot in the leg. It's very brief. Rita Repulsa's there. So seeing like a life-size version.
Who's Rita?
She's like the main villain in the Power Rangers universe.
Oh, yeah.
She's green, and she's like this crazy, crazy lady. Well, yeah.
I remember vividly now. She brought the monsters.
Yeah, she brings the monsters. She was cool. That was a lot of fun. That was just very surreal being on that sort of movie set after doing like Hallmark movies.
Define a Hallmark movie for me. I don't really know what that means.
Yeah.
I know there's a card.
There's a channel where they show really light, fluffy, like mm-hmm. Like romance novel type bullshit. No offense.
No, absolutely. No, it's a it's a positive, good feeling holiday sort of network. A lot of their stuff is holiday based, so they the Christmas movies.
And he's not going to say anything bad about him because he'd like to work for him again, maybe.
I am working for them this month.
Oh yeah, this month,
August. Yeah,
I'll have to check out your show. But the only show that I know about on Hallmark is with Aunt Becky, who used to be in Full House. She wrote a show called, I think it's called When Calls the Heart.
Yeah,
When Calls the Heart. Nobody talks like that.
I know. If you look at my credits, you'll see. The Hallmark movies, All of My Heart, All for Love.
Yeah.
Love by the Book.
It's basically
like
All of My Heart 2015.
It's women's television. They all have love, heart, romance.
And this one, All for Love, I see this as your most current credit.
Yeah.
All for Love.
All for
PJ
Love.
PJ.
Salazar.
Salazar.
Mm-hmm. Guy training to be a Marine.
And what nationality is that, Salazar?
Spanish.
Oh, yeah, you could be Spanish.
Is. Yeah. I think I could, for sure.
Well, you did, so.
I did, yeah. I played it. I did it justice. I mean, his character wasn't based off of his nationality, Trevor, but.
do you have upcoming work you'd like to plug?
Yeah, definitely. If anyone is watching, or is into, crime, murder, mystery drama, that kind of stuff, on ABC every Tuesday at 10 p.m., there's a show called Somewhere Between. It's starring Paula Patton, Devon Sawa, J.R. Bourne, and myself.
Oh, J.R., yeah, J.R., isn't it?
J.R. Bourne, yeah, you know J.R., right?
ABC, that's a network people have heard of.
Yeah, see, ABC's great, and they were fantastic. But that show, check that out. You'll see me pop up here and there through the season. I'm not going to give away too many details, but yeah.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
What's that?
I have a question.
Sure.
Who has better food? Like an ABC-type show?
Oh, that's a good question.
Oh, yeah, the catering? Or you call catering?
Oh,
what do you call
man.
The food truck?
They're all delicious. Catering, all
craft things. Services, that's what I'm looking for.
I was an extra for a little bit,
yeah.
And you'd notice, like, anything Disney, and you were going to get screwed.
Wait, can I look up your IMDb?
I don't have one.
No.
No, they don't list boring stuff like that. But no, I worked on a bunch of productions, and I noticed a huge difference in the level of respect that they treat people with. And, anyway, so yeah.
It's a bit of a higher
network.
Yeah.
Because it's so focused towards, like, I think housewives, do they have good housewife style food or do they have.
That's a very good question. You would think so. Here's the thing about the Hallmark stuff, they always got really, really good desserts. So I think it fits in line
with
that.
Yeah.
It's always like
best desserts, Hallmark.
It's
yeah.
always like blueberry crumble with ice cream and like something really. A lot of some sets they'll be like, it has to be like gluten free.
And your paycheck
or
comes in a, like a little light blue envelope. You open it up, there's a card with like a check stapled to it, and it's just endearing. It takes you right back. It's Christmas with Grandma all over again.
Exactly.
Yeah. I remember when you were an extra, because like you were an extra, but you didn't work.
I usually sit in a tent, like, waiting to work. Yeah.
Yeah, but you were going out of your way for that year not to work.
I was trying not to have a job.
Had a roommate.
You were trying to be a sovereign citizen.
I was
You were trying to stay off the map.
No, he just... in his apartment that he lived in, at one point, his roommate had moved out.
Though.
It was empty. We rode bikes through his empty townhouse. Was that a townhouse?
Townhouse, yeah.
By himself. He didn't have furniture.
You lived by yourself in this townhouse?
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, he had two people living with him. They both left. He's lazy. he had not a lot of stuff. He had a mattress he dragged out of the closet that I sat on when I visited and a camping chair.
Yeah. Wow.
Like one bowl, one plate, and a bike.
I think one of the most endearing things about that brings us back to Hallmark, and I love how much we get to say that word, is in the main window, like a three panels, like a very big living room window, we had a piece of string kind of that you would put Christmas cards on.
Yeah, that's what I was going to talk about.
Oh, cool.
But I don't fuck with Christmas or Christmas cards.
No, he doesn't
so
celebrate Christmas.
I hung the bills that I wasn't paying from that just to keep them all straight, like what bills I hadn't paid.
Sounds organized.
Sometimes I just stand in his living room because there's nowhere to sit and just read the...
Look at these bills.
Be like, man, he owes a lot of money. Doesn't he worry about it? Like, we're going to a movie. How is he even affording that?
He's not worried about it at all. Not paying that bill.
Yeah, letting your laundry hang
like,
out to dry.
Working
not
like,
metaphorically.
I don't even care.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That was a good time. He was with his what would later be wife. She was with you during that time, right?
Yes, she was with me. We were not yet married.
Wow.
And
that's
she was
true
a bit
dedication,
of a,
though, really.
She's a bit of a princess. This is a big surprise.
And we were also not terribly in love at that point.
No, because you hadn't...
We were just dating and it wasn't going well, but then... One thing led to another.
Couldn't imagine why it wouldn't be going well.
One thing led to another, and bam, married.
Yeah.
Yeah. 10 years later.
That happened. And then didn't.
Yeah, again, this isn't about me. Let's talk about our guest here.
Oh, wait. Well,
we get distracted the same way we always do when I open my mouth.
No, it's fine.
Jeff's
I like
the star
hearing
of my show.
About this. It's really funny. I like actually hearing about that. My next question was going to be, are the bills still hanging in where you live now?
Oh, no.
Is that like a tradition
no,
now?
I pay my bills.
It's my only way I can pay my bills.
My window's probably not very big. I know I mostly pay them.
In another episode, yeah. You'll probably hear about the time Jeff was homeless, but owned an apartment.
But owned an apartment?
Yeah. But was still homeless. Yeah. Anyways, that's not what we're going to talk about right now, but that's a little teaser for the fans.
Yeah. Tune in.
I want to ask, because this isn't really an interview podcast. I guess it could be. It could be whatever we want. Is there a difference between working for movies and TV? Because, like, you getting a recurring role, that's, like, that's kind of a big deal, I think. Like, congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
And a movie, though, unless they're going to make many sequels.
The movie, like, if
but
you...
do they pay more?
If you're in a feature film, like, that is the pinnacle. Like, that is what you want. That is what every actor, I think... any actor in the TV and film realm wants. They're interested in that field. I think because
is it like a prestige to it, or is it like
maybe not
I'm here
a
now, bitches.
I think it because the amount of people you're gonna reach at such a condensed time, like you know, like TV, you know, it has its avenues, and I think it's getting a lot bigger now because of Netflix and. Like some really good, like high quality TV shows are coming out, like true crime drama.
If something says like produced by Netflix or whatever, I'll check it out because I've seen a lot of
good
shit.
I don't think the film or like feature films is the end all to be all. Like I think you definitely want to get there for the. I think because for me it's the project aspect of it. When you do a TV show, you get your script. You know, if you're like a day player or if you're a guest star or recurring even. You're reading the scripts as they go along. You're filming stuff, and then 2 weeks later it comes out. In the movie, you know, biz, if you are on a project, you're attached to a project, sometimes they'll film for, you know, 6 months to 8 months, even a year. Stuff like Star Wars, I mean, those have been years in the working. So you would sit there on a project, you know, even as an actor, you'd have a chance to, like, live and be this character for 6 or 8 months before you even, you know, cut a piece of frame out. So I think that is like a good experience to have, that just to be able to spend time working on something like that. Whereas in TV is a little bit more like, let's just keep, it just comes to you a little bit quicker, you know, the material. So you have to like a little bit less time to spend time with it. So,
any stage work?
I haven't done stage work since high school, and I would love to do it. I'd love to do like an improv troupe. I did that in high school. That was a lot of fun.
I listen to a lot of comedians' podcasts, and they talk about being an improv first, or like using that to work out, using that to like find your dimensions. And
improv is the greatest thing.
Joel said he was going to make an improv group.
Wait, what?
The same time he suggested I make a podcast. Oh, from now on, open your beers directly into the microphone. That's a thing we do here.
Is that a thing?
Okay. That's a thing we do here. I should have said something in the beginning.
Okay, here.
Joel had a. The same night that we kind of got drunk, and he's like, "Trevor, you should have your own podcast." And I went, "Okay, I'll do that now." That's the only push that I needed. Previous guest, he's our first guest. Okay. He talked about making an improv group, and I think
I had no idea. I've never heard of him.
I had a clever name. I can't remember what it was.
Well, they all have clever names, don't they?
For an improv group, yeah.
Do you have any ideas?
Or
what are some good ones you've heard?
There's some good ones that I've heard. Oh, my God. Well, the good, like a great one is...
Hey, interns, could you look up funny improv names?
Quickly, bring the cue cards. No, there's a theater sports league improv troupe down outside of Granville Island. I'm trying to remember what they're called right now, but I can't remember off the top of my head. But there's a gentleman there by the name of Ken Lawson. He taught me for a little bit. He is so funny. And if you got a chance to go to Granville Island and check out a show, definitely do that.
So the interns brought me some funny improv names. I'll just dump a few on us and we'll move on. Mission Improvable. This one, you couldn't use it for just anybody, but it says 5 overweight dudes and a girl probably.
Okay. Yeah. Those are the ones. Those are the ones you hear.
The rest suck. Anyways, moving on.
Nice.
Interns bring me better material. Okay. So, this is primarily a storytelling podcast, and
cool.
I think you brought something along here. Do you mind if I just pick something off the list, or is there something you want to get into? What's a?
Yeah. I mean, we're on the topic of acting. I've got a good sort of first audition story. I was just to kind of give you a background here. I started acting when I was like 5. That's when I like started.
Your parents got into it?
No. We were the farthest away from being able to afford something like that. I just did it in school. Like I did school plays, so I was always a little performer. But when I broke into TV and film, I was 16 years old. I just started auditioning, and when you are in Vancouver growing up. When you're in Vancouver and you are, you know, aspiring to be an actor or an actress, primarily out here, what you first do is you just pretty much go out for anything. So your agent will send you out, they'll just blast you on a bunch of calls, and then you just go out and you audition for whatever, whoever will see you because you're a new face and you have nothing to stand on. So I would go out for tons of random things. And this story in particular is kind of funny. So I go out to this call, and they're, you know, it's a little nice. I like that. it's a little nondescript. So this is for a commercial, and anytime you're an actor and you go out for a commercial audition, typically they won't tell you what the product is. They'll just say, you know, it's this, but we can't really say. So we'll tell you what to say and what to do, but we're not going to tell you what the product is. So you kind of go in blind, right? Which kind of makes sense, you know. They want to protect their product and stuff like that. So I go in. I'm a 16-year-old kid. I go in, and in the audition scene is I'm in a locker room, and I'm in the shower. I'm in the locker room.
16-year-old Drew in the shower. Yep, really
right.
Sexy.
Picture this, right? This is real stuff here.
Oh no, you got my full attention. You've got a full 12 o'clock of attention.
I'm 6 to midnight, like
you got
real.
Jerry Sandusky's full attention.
Woo! I'm supposed to be in this locker room, shirtless. So I took off my shirt, and I'm standing in this locker room, and I'm supposed to be looking at another guy across from me.
I don't know why I want to ask this, but what kind of hair were you sporting at 16?
At 16, I had just short, similar hair to what I have now.
Okay,
yeah, nothing too different. I'm looking at this guy, and they're saying, "Okay, Drew. So you're washing yourself. You're in this locker room. You've just like worked out. It's been a crazy thing. And you look over, and the guy next to you has got some really nice shoes, like the nicest shoes. And you're jealous, right? So they're like, Drew, just picture he's got like Jordans on.
And you've had shoe envy before, I'm sure.
Sure. Oh yeah. Growing up not having shoes, like absolutely.
You didn't have shoes?
I the hand-me-downs, like I'm sure everyone else did.
No, I was oldest.
Yeah, so you got the cream of the crop.
Pretty middle-aged family, but my dad was cheap. I got new stuff, but it was never name brand.
Oh, see, I never got like, yeah. Anyone that had like a pair of Jordans was like super cool.
I never had a pair of Jordans.
Yeah.
I might have had a pair of Airwalks.
Airwalks?
Yeah.
I had those.
Etnies, yeah. I still rock Etnies.
Still
DZ.
Right on.
Brought to you by DC,
there
by
you
the way.
Go. Plug. but anyway, so I'm supposed to look at this guy, and yeah, oh yeah, Drew, he's got the nicest shoes. And so I'm looking over at this guy, and I'm making all sorts of faces like, oh yeah, look at that shoe. That is so cool. So anyway, I leave the audition room feeling like utterly confused and just, you know, like.
Oh, so you went into this audition not knowing they just gave you directions.
I was like, okay, so it's a shoe commercial.
I guess some people treat actors like talking props, right?
Sometimes. And in commercials, it's like a cattle call. Like, no offense, like I love commercials. Actually, my first commercial just dropped 11 hours ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I have my first ever commercial. It's a drinking and driving commercial. We'll talk more about that later. But
wait.
More to this story.
Okay, yeah.
This is the story that I'm trying to... Here's what was crazy about it. So I'm thinking it's a shoe commercial. And I get the call back. So I go back in, and I do the same thing. And you know, Drew, you're washing yourself down. You're doing the whole thing. And you're looking over at the guy. Man, look at this guy's nice shoes. Like, look at these shoes
in quotations.
Right, and I'm just like, man, this has got to be a shoe commercial. Well, this is kind of a weird-ass shoe commercial. Why am I naked in a locker room washing myself? Like, why am I? And why
so has this guy got his shoes out?
You know what I mean? I'm just trying to, like, piece this all together at 16 years old. I get the call from my agent. He says, hey, Drew, you're on hold, which means they've, like, sent you to the network. They're going to get you for approval. And, like, you're pretty much, it's down to you and one other guy. I'm like, oh, great, like, super excited. Like,
oh, yeah.
This is awesome.
Because you're 16, like, and yeah, you want to be an actor.
Yeah, I've never been on something. I'm like, this is awesome. So
You know, is that rush what kind of, like, that first rush? It's like crack, you know? You gets you. That same thing you get from sales, right? Like you got like
it's unbelievable
when you're getting it.
When you're getting one over. It was just like the feeling of oh man, I might actually have it. I didn't end up getting it, but I knew the guy that did. I saw him again another audition. I said, hey, I ran into him. Man, how was that shoe commercial? He goes, what? What shoe commercial? I'm like, man, the one we went in for, remember?
No, that was a herpes medication commercial.
It was a male enhancement commercial.
Oh. Oh, shit. So
yeah. Right?
So,
right?
By shoes.
Shoes. They're like, okay, so the scenario was you're looking at this guy. He's got a big-ass dick.
Yes. You know what? You probably would have got
it. Jealous.
I feel like you would have got it if they just said dick.
If they like, just told
you're
me,
really
like,
just you're envious of his dick.
If they could have just said that, I would have been like, oh, you know, okay, yeah. Cool. But no, but same thing. Like they're bringing in this 16-year-old kid for a freaking male enhancement commercial.
That's very weird.
Huh. And I went. But that's the thing. Like, and I don't blame my agent. I don't blame my agent. She didn't know.
She didn't know. You didn't know.
No one knew
until later.
Oh, but so. you would. Okay, so let's say they did offer you the bit. And they told you this is for male enhancement.
100% would have done it.
Yeah, of course you would have.
Are you kidding me? Oh, man, that would have been so funny.
No, I got to tell you.
Did 16-year-old you know what, like, I don't know, Cialis, Viagra or whatever? Did 16-year-old about that?
Yeah.
Okay, because they didn't have that when I was 16.
Male enhancement or erectile? Like, who's taking those before Cialis. They go to the gym?
Oh,
you
know? For one of those, yeah.
I had a friend of mine who used to just, he was one of those, I don't know what kind of friend you want to call it, but like just a colored kind of guy. Like he was so funny, all over the place, always doing drugs. And he popped. He was doing like Molly one night, and he told me.
He sounds
me
like an
later.
Awesome dude. I'm just
telling
he's
you. A pretty cool guy, but he was a bit of a, he's off the rails. He told me one night that he went out and he did Molly, and he was going to go meet up with this girl. So he popped 4 Cialis.
Whoa.
You know? He said he had a boner for like 24 hours and wouldn't go away.
Jeff, actually, in some on some stuff that we were fucking around with material, Jeff released some information about how he likes to use...
Did I tell you the story about taking Viagra and just going to the mall? And like, just,
yeah,
just trying to keep it down? It's super funny.
It's funny. It's weird. I got a... I've actually got a pretty good story, and it involves my wife, and she's going to have to listen to this before it airs, but me and Michelle had a long-distance relationship. She was 1,000 kilometers away. And it had been 4 weeks, and I'm driving down there. And we like to, you know, she liked mushrooms, and I knew that there was the Urban Shaman down in Vancouver, brought to you by the Urban Shaman.
In, right next to the Cannabis Cafe.
Amsterdam Cafe, also brought to you by the Amsterdam Cafe. The you'd go in there, and you could buy, like, peyote and, like, cactuses with mescaline in them. Mm-hmm. Is that it?
Yeah,
mescaline. Yeah, mescaline. And I would get this Hawaiian baby wood rose, and the effects were like a mixture of acid and mushrooms. You boiled them down,
wow.
Peeled them out, you ground them down, you fasted first. Anyways, we do all this, and I'd done it before. I took like twice the recommended dose and went to a double feature movie at the Clova Inn. Shout out to Clova. And so I thought this would be a fun thing for me and Michelle to do. We haven't seen each other for a while. But what else they had at the Urban Shaman was a... Aphrodisiac.
Oh,
he had salvia.
Yeah.
And he had an aphrodisiac. And I'm like, sweet, what does this do? He goes, oh, and guys, it like gets you going. And in girls, it brings all the blood down there. So they're super sensitive. I'm like, fuck, I haven't seen my girlfriend in 4 weeks. We are going to bang. And I'm going to get this fucking, I'm going to make a cocktail of this seeds, Hawaiian baby wood rose, which is like morning glory. Right. And you've heard morning glory referred to in like songs.
Right.
Always. Yeah. Because it's, I think you can make LSD out of it. Don't quote me on that. That's less than secondhand knowledge. But the effects were very are strong. So I make a tea when I get to her house. Before I ate it straight, and it was pretty strong. So I made a tea, and I mixed it, and I put in this aphrodisiac, and we drank it. And she put on something cute, and we got kind of high, and we started fooling around. And I am fucking hard as rock. Now, I don't need anything to help me get hard as a rock. At this time.
It's not about needing it. It's not about needing it.
Oh, no, but...
It's for the jokes.
I hadn't seen my girlfriend in 4 weeks. I'm ready to get fucked.
You're ready
and
to go.
I have an erection that hurts.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I am so hard, it hurts. And we're, like, fooling around. She's like, what's wrong? I'm like... So I put something in the tea. And remember I told you?
Oh, my God.
And I and we didn't bang because I had an erection that hurt. I took some Tylenol. we like just laid in the bed and like tripped out on the ceiling.
That is so funny. It's
tragic news. Yeah, because guess what? I don't need fucking.
It hurts after a while. Yeah.
Oh, I'm laying there. I'm just like.
How old are you?
That's embarrassing to say. I was older than you. I was.
Stop answering my question.
me and Michelle, I think we started dating when I was like 27, 28. So I had to be in like 27 or 28.
Okay. That's young, man.
Yeah.
That's young for what?
Doing that. My buddy was 19.
But. Oh, we just. No, I thought like I'd get super horny, she'd get super horny, and we'd fuck for hours. That's my head. I'm like, this is going to be epic. We're going to be high and bang and all like in touch with nature and our bodies.
In my head, like, you don't need it. But the reason you take like Viagra or whatever at our age or whatever is like taking a gun to a knife fight. You know, just to bring it
when you want to light some nice flowers and just murder a vagina. Bring it. You just, you know,
it's like that. Like it's. Yeah, I don't know how else to explain it.
That's the best analogy I've ever heard. So that it's like bringing a gun to a knife fight. You ain't fucking around.
What kind of sex are you having?
So violent.
although Michelle was hosting a toy party, like a passion party, where you invite your like this girl over and she shows you all these lubes and like dildos and shit, and the girls laugh and like it's a good old time. It's a fun way to like get together and whatever.
Nice.
And Michelle's like in the post, I guess it's a Facebook post, that like describe your sex title with a movie, right? A movie title.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Describe your sex with a movie title. So she's like, "What should I do?" I go, "What are the other ones?" And they were like funny. They were good, right? Because it's funny. Dirty humor is funny. I go, "Put down Fight Club," and then don't talk about it.
Oh man, that's good.
You know, you'd said before about commercials, but a funny story you've told me before is you were in some advertising for Nike.
That's right.
It seems more significant than the male enhancement.
Actual shoe commercial.
That's right. Didn't even see that one.
Yeah, you know, Nikes, you know.
Nikes, plug.
And I'm surprised you didn't show up to the second shoe commercial, of course not knowing what it is yet. There's shoe-related stuff. I'm surprised you weren't a little bit nervous right then that this is going to be another commercial for dick pills.
I'm going to be honest. It was in the back of my mind.
Every time you go for a commercial, you're what's this going to be for?
Same thing. They didn't tell us what brand it was for.
Oh, no. Not even on the day. Yeah.
You know, exactly. I showed up.
Listen, we want you to be the sponsor for our the poster boy for our new UTI. And we're going to call it The Catch. And
oh, man.
But when you went to Nike, didn't you go to a store? So because they give you swag, they give you but you went to a store in the States, and I want you to finish the story, but you seem not to be remembering it, a cardboard cutout of yourself?
Oh, no, yeah, you could go, no, they had my picture, like, everywhere.
Oh,
Sports
cool.
Check, they had it, like, all over the world.
Billy Talent has one of those. His mom has a cardboard cutout of him when he did SPC ads.
Oh, wow.
Shoppers Drug Mart or something. Anyway, but yeah, oh, really? But yeah, he was in this thing. He
pretty much the same thing.
And yeah, no, if there was an ad that had a cardboard cutout of me, I'd buy one, take one, steal one, whatever. Man.
I wish I was able to acquire one of those, but it was like it was a blown up image. It was like huge on a wall.
But you went to a store, didn't there? Like the guy working there were like, "You look familiar."
So I went to the store. Guys
like,
"Hey man, do you need any help at all?" And I'm just looking at this ad. And I'm like, "I'm all right." And my friend that's with me is like, "Does that guy look anything like this guy?" And then the guy looks at the ad, looks at me, and goes, "Holy shit, man! Whoa, what? How did you do this? Like I did a magic trick." Yeah, it was like I did a magic trick on the guy.
But
like
that
you know,
is
just
like
popped
magic.
Out of the. Yeah, I guess it is like magic. Hmm. Felt
that would fuck with people because.
His reaction was priceless.
Look, you know how we look at people on TV and advertising. When you see somebody who's represented in marketing or anything image-wise, I was in a newspaper one time, and it blew my mind. In the sports section, and I'm not super athletic. When I was in Taekwondo, me and my brother were in. It was, they took a picture of me doing a move wrong and then put it on in the newspaper. So the only people who knew were people who did Taekwondo.
It was
but
a super
I'm,
inside burn.
Your sensei was not happy with you.
No, he was very happy, actually. It was because they mentioned the name of his studio.
Hey.
And I did, I think I won. I won a medal at that one. I didn't do bad. I placed.
That's what counts. You got to place.
Yeah, I was like third loser. You know, or second loser.
This was before the whole everybody, every kid wins though wave.
Yeah, which is becoming a thing.
No, no, I'm not that old. I'm not that old. They still did that in like soccer and shit. But
really,
martial
wow,
arts.
Oh man, that's
hold
shitty.
Up. No, wait, hold on. I have a pile of participation ribbons. That's true. Oh. I take it back.
Did you
now
keep
I
them?
Remember.
Are they in your trophy case?
I don't have a trophy case. We all know that. you know that by looking at me that I don't have a trophy case.
Yeah, the participation ribbons. Yeah, I remember those. Every kid got them, one of those.
Oh, that dang. Actually speaks so.
Actually, no, I'm not opposed to participation ribbons per se. Just like give the first kid place, you know, mm-hmm. give them a trophy.
Acknowledge that hard work for the top three people. Yeah,
yeah, it's all good, but yeah that's just one of those things. You've seen that commercial? Have you seen that video on YouTube where they had the guy that he's like teaching his soccer team or whatever, like some town, and they've like eliminated the ball. You seen that? They're like, yeah, you know, first we took away the scoreboard, and it's a total like really funny comedy video, right? And he's like, we took away the scoreboard, and then we just thought like that wasn't enough, you know, the kids were just being too competitive, so we're like, let's just take away the ball. So they show them out on the field,
just
and
standing there.
He's like, and it's great because I get to decide like where the ball is.
Are they playing pretend ball?
Pretty much, like there is no ball, and he's got all these kids out there running around like mm-hmm. kicking at like imaginary air, and all the parents are talking about how good it is for the town.
I feel like when you're able to like, because I'm a parent, I have a kid in activities, and
right.
and he's in baseball, and it really is them like you're pushing the kids in the right direction. They're what they do kind of looks like baseball. I'll put it that way, but it's a learning. You got to do that to get the idea right. of the rules and everything like that. And they have fun, and it's a good thing. And I'll probably put them in next year. You know.
So let me ask you this: and then, as a parent to a young kid, how do you feel about that? About like having young kids in sports? Like, where do you draw the line? What age is it? Or like
well,
appropriate?
Because he just finished kindergarten, so that's the level he's at. And he looks forward to when he's the kids take a turn being teacher's helper. Mm-hmm. Right, he looks forward to that. He gets jobs, and he'll tell me about it, just like you get excited when you do show and tell. But when you want to do something like you're on a sports team, let's say you're into soccer, and they give your MVP a special trophy, he wants that trophy. That gives him something to work towards. Do you know why he's got that trophy? Because he practiced and he worked hard, and that builds it up. I don't want him to feel bad because he's not getting something, but I want him to understand why the other guy got it. And
Does that trophy still exist? I thought we were past that. Like, I thought our society had gotten so weird that that wouldn't even be allowed.
I bet you in a lot of martial arts, it's very structured to the fact that you wear a belt to show how good you are.
True.
You go to tournaments and there are still trophies and first place, second place, third place.
Yeah, I think martial arts is a different.
But it's schools,
arena.
It's school boards and parents.
Team
that have really ruined
I haven't had a lot of experience in team sports, and I'm only comparing that because that's what I know.
Right.
I'd been on a soccer team and I'd been on a few teams.
You know what, Trevor? With the way things are going, you could join, like, you could probably get on, like, Chase's soccer team or something. You know how it's for, like, it's what, for 6-year-olds, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, your son's
because of my experience, I'm a 6-year-old
on
the field.
No, I'm saying like we live in a society where you can just say I identify as a 6-year-old.
Right.
You have to call me a 6-year-old. My pronouns are kid, champ, and sport.
My pronouns are
kid.
You know what I mean?
Champ and sport.
Like you know, it's that would make the news, and like somebody out there, a billion people are going to call you like an idiot. But there's somebody out there, some real nut job, who's going to say.
Yeah.
Somebody finally.
Because
you know,
I've always felt like I identified as a 6-year-old boy.
Well, that's the thing that I love. I've seen like so many funny videos on that where the guy goes up to the campus and he's like, "Hey, you know, do you think it's okay if somebody wants to identify as a black person but they're not black?"
Oh yeah.
And the lady's like, "You know what? Like, if that person wants to identify as another race." You know what? That's okay. And then the host is like, okay, if a person wants to identify as a dog, you know, maybe they feel, or like a wolf, they feel like they're a wolf inside. Is that okay? And the lady goes, yeah, I think that's fine. Like, if you want to identify as a wolf, like, doesn't harm me. And then the guy's like, okay, so what if you wanted to identify as, he's like, well, I identify as 80 years old. Rachel Dolezal. awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, you know this story.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm showing my phone because you're talking about identifying.
And, oh, yeah. She's
and there's
a big story
this news
that.
Story a couple years ago about a white woman who identified as black who
right.
was a chapter leader for the NAACP.
Yeah, in California. Her
I remember that.
Rachel Dolezal. She was born white. She identified as black. And she got like taken in by sort of like a
bullshit.
Black family.
I'm a little offended as a white person
not,
that she wanted to.
I think
to,
it's fine.
Yeah.
Do you think it's fine? Yeah.
You know what? I think it's fine. I mean, if you want to, I think cultural appropriation is just fine. It's saying that I like your culture. I want to, you know.
I think a white guy could have a reggae band, but I don't know about doing blackface, you know, because she's pretty much doing blackface.
I've seen a 20-year-old white man wearing a turban.
Yeah,
not ironically.
That's more that I would call that more.
That's a good point.
But that's a religious thing, and maybe not a lot of people do join. But
I
you know.
Think it here in like North America, I think where it's such an issue as cultural appropriation as a thing. I think why it's an issue is because you're adopting somebody's culture. Here's the thing, just for people to know, I'm a quarter black, so you know my dad's half black from Jamaica.
He's a milk chocolate.
I am. I got a nice cafe brown.
I'm still picturing Sergeant Salazar.
Sergeant, yeah. Definitely pop right back into that. But no, just the whole cultural appropriation thing. I personally, if a white guy wants to wear dreads, I'm a Jamaican. If I see a white guy wearing dreads, you know what? I'm fine with it. I don't care.
Well, Joe Rogan pointed out that the earliest documentation of dreads was Greeks.
Yeah.
Honestly, that's what I'm saying. We're talking about
and
hair
Vikings.
Here.
Yeah, I don't give a shit.
We're talking about hair. Like, that's ridiculous. But
here's a question. Here's an example. So that is just something that's a style of clothing. What about like an Indian headdress, a First Nations headdress, as we call them in Canada? That is
again. This is more to the my point is that I feel like when it crosses the line is when you adopt. It's when you adopt something that is like directly culturally the same as something else, but you don't stand for where the culture comes from.
What about a Jewish
person? So
if you want to
wear this headband, but then you don't want
to
stand with the people at Standing Rock, you know,
you have to be honest about it. You just say sure. Yes, this is a Native American inspired hat.
Yeah, no.
I just like feathers. I just like feathers a lot, okay?
I think there's just a lot of ignorance going on with some people where they don't really understand the...
But that might be the same as somebody as like... Because one time I went to school for Halloween and at...
You didn't paint your face black, did you?
Oh, no. No, I did not. But I dressed like a priest. I dressed like a Catholic priest. And I had this whole bit, as you can imagine, involving altar
little
boys.
Yes,
and
knew it.
And it was being like creepy.
Knew it.
Super, super edgy.
One guy, I think his name was James something, we went to high school with. I came in the cafeteria, which is a stairs down, and he's with a big group of people. And I guess he's Catholic. And apparently that's a big deal, dressing like it's an explicit no in the Catholic Church.
Really?
And he told me, you know, he's like, you cannot do that. I'm like, I bought this in a store, and I wore it. I'm a Catholic priest. He's like... No, people are not allowed to dress in those clothing. I said, this cost me like $10. It's my Halloween costume.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what to say because I didn't want... I felt a little bad. I'd never up to that point even thought about it. But there is a big part of me that when somebody says, you can't do that, and I'm already doing it, apparently I fucking can.
In a couple of years, he's going to have some girl dress up like a nun, a slutty nun or whatever. And he's going to be all about it.
Oh, I might do that. That sounds awesome. But I guess it was offending his nature, so I felt a little bit bad about, like, I'm part Catholic. I feel like, well, I'm part Catholic. I'm zero part Catholic because I don't go to church, but...
That can still make you 50% Catholic.
I've been exposed to a little bit of the Catholic culture, and my mom went, it's not strong. I didn't do mass, I didn't...
So you did that in high school?
I did that in high school. I was probably...
Funny, parallel... to that, when I was in high school, I did the same thing. I dressed up as a nun.
Ooh.
That's not the same thing. That's drag and blasphemy,
I dressed
apparently.
Up as a nun, and I came to school, and I had... And my family's
very Catholic.
That
takes some bravery.
You know what? I had zero fucks to give back then. When it came to like social experiments, like I was in grade 11. like to do so many different social experiments, and that was one of them. And I remember bringing the cross with me. I got this big wooden cross that we had at our house. I wore glasses.
Did you bless people?
I blessed people, and I made a... I was really into like editing and stuff like that and photography.
Give us our Father. Give us an Our Father right now.
Our Father
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread. Give us our trespasses. We forgive those who trespass against us.
He wins. He out Catholic me.
I actually made. I did a little photo shoot in my bathroom, and I made a magazine
with an actual priest.
No, it's just me on the cover, like holding on to the bathtub like curtain.
But you did your nun sexy photo shoot.
I did my nun sexy photo shoot. Shit. Published a magazine, handed it out at high school.
Oh my god!
And it was called what was the name of the
Not
magazine?
Not only did you have no fucks to give, you had a lot of time on your hands.
You're taking this prank very far.
Oh
in
yeah,
grade 11. That's amazing ethic.
I love pranks. I have.
Love a good pun, a long term pun. Love it.
It was a good nun.
That's so good. That takes a lot of guts, though.
Yeah, it was good. It was. I'm still trying to remember what the hell the.
No, did anybody get upset?
Honestly, no. Like I had done so many things up until that point.
You're way more likable.
People were
than
just
me.
Like,
because you were a bit of a prankster, right?
People were just like, yeah, like, oh, that's just another one of Drew's little things. Like hilarious. You know, no one stopped me. It was really bizarre. I don't know why. Somebody should have stopped me. Walking around as a nun, ironically.
But, like myself, as soon as somebody said something about it, what would your reaction have been? Like, oh, you're right, I probably shouldn't be doing this.
No,
I'd be like,
no, I would have felt it was
I'm just like, oh, yeah, you know what? I'm a priest doing the Jesus dance. Yeah, how do you feel about that?
My thing was like, hey, you know what? This is Halloween. Like, there is nothing saying that I... If there's a kid out here that's allowed to dress up as Dr. J and put an afro on, why can't I dress up as, you know, St. Mary or something like that?
I later... Honestly, in my 20s, because that I did that back when I was like 15. Then later in my 20s, I did a blasphemous thing where I dressed as Jesus and did like the toga. Oh. But I actually made a wooden cross that I carried around the party I went to because I knew it would be in a backyard. And it would. I remember I was driving and I drove like a little hatchback Civic and part of it stuck out of the window. This was Melissa, lives in England now.
Uh-huh.
Shout out to Melissa. I think she might listen to this podcast. I was telling her about it.
There you go.
She had a party, and I went there, and I dressed as Jesus, and it was a big hit. Like, this time, I didn't get any shit, and I felt like it was worse than the first thing I did.
Ah.
But, yeah, another blasphemous costume.
Yeah, so, like, just pushing those boundaries, like, where it all started for me, I, you know, like, I was the kind of kid in grade 7 where they were like, hey, it's pajama day, and, you know, so we're all going to wear pajamas to school. And I was like, okay, like... All right, how can I use this as another platform to just see what I can get away with? So I'm like, I'll go to the teacher the day before. I'm like, hey, so you say wear it's pajama day. Like, what do I wear? Asking this, you know, rhetorical question. She's like, just wear what you wear to bed. I'm like, bingo, thank you. So I go.
You were looking for her to set herself up to quote.
Oh yeah. So I go home. I get ready. I fish out like this baby blue pair of tidy whiteys. Put them on
some nut huggers.
Put them on underneath some tearaways. Show up to a class, and in grade 7 back in elementary school, you would line up outside.
And you weren't doing this for the teacher; you were doing this for the class.
I was doing this again just to see what I could get away with, and to get everyone's reaction.
She did tell you to wear what you wear to bed.
100%. I felt like she was liable for that, and I had to hold
her
accountable.
I feel like it was a lie because you had to dig these up.
Pardon me?
This wasn't your everyday wear.
No, it was.
She doesn't know that.
Yeah, you just.
She doesn't know that. No. She doesn't know. Whose side are you on? What are you talking about?
He should have gone naked. He should have just said, you know what? I sleep naked. This is my grade 7.
I feel like he wanted to do it, and this is as close as he could get away with, so that's what he went with.
I show up, and we're all standing outside. We're all lined up, because that's what you do in elementary school. You line up outside of the school, and I started telling everybody. I'm like, you know, guys, when the bell rings, I'm gonna rip these off.
Yeah.
And all the girls go, no, ew, Drew, don't do that. And I'm like, you know, we'll see what happens. So the bell rings. Everyone in the class screams and shouts. Nobody enters class with me. I walk in by myself.
Yeah.
Teacher's in there standing alone. I rip off these tearaways, and I'm just standing there like practically buck naked with these blue tidy whities on, and the teacher's face goes red. She's like, Drew, get in the hall now. She gets outside. She gets in my face. She's like, what were you thinking? You can't wear this to school. I said, you said, wear what I wear to bed.
Why you're calling on that shit.
You know what? That conversation needs to be in front of the class. That shouldn't be behind closed doors. You need some transparency when somebody's, you know,
so
being
while you're having the conversation, you're wearing the tighty whities.
I'm wearing
still,
the tighty whities.
Right? You're in the hallway.
She's, yeah.
All out.
She's like, what were you thinking? I'm like, you told me where.
Now, was she talking to your crotch?
Was she a little turned on?
Is she like?
She, you know what? Looking
she making
back on
eye
now,
contact
maybe.
with your tighty whities there?
How old
tighty
was
blues?
She would have been about
like 30,
almost,
right?
Almost 30,
when
maybe.
When you're in grade 7, you think anybody a couple years older than you is like 50.
What? No, she
was
like,
that's right? True. That's true. Yeah.
She did laugh, though. She did. She ended up laughing and sending me to the principal's office, but all she right. was laughing. She was like, oh,
I think she respected your game.
Yeah.
She's like,
did they call your mom
that.
Said, your son is at school in his underwear. Can you come pick him up?
No, my mom didn't get a call that day.
That day. Yeah. She got calls.
The one time my mom got a phone call, and which was rare, I usually was able to talk my way out of it, but the one time I got my mom got called, this is talking about taking something way too far. I took something, and like I said, I would always try to do these little experiments, and this was taking something way too far. Grade 9 math class, I hated math, especially my teacher at
the
time.
Yeah, I'm not a big math fan.
I'm not going to name any names, but I couldn't stand this
teacher. Sorry, what was the name again?
Can't say his name.
Right.
He was just really, really boring and like just didn't know how. I don't know. I just was not into it. So one class, I had a knack for sleeping on desks, like sleeping on top of them. I'd push two together and just like fall asleep planking.
Oh.
And the teacher would like come back from a break or something, or coming back from like getting something out of the supply closet, and I'd be there.
And
like,
you built a bedroom.
I like built a bedroom, and so this day I had done it, and I'd fallen asleep, and the teacher comes back, and he's like, Drew, wake up. What are you doing? Like, why are you sleeping on this table? And I woke up, and I was like, where am I? What have I? What, who am I? Who are you? And I started.
What year is it? What year is it?
Pretty much. I started playing like I had just like woken up not knowing anything. And I must have sold this so well because he was like, Drew, you're in math class. Like, your name is Drew. Like, everything's fine. I'm like, oh, no.
Before you were an actor.
This is before I was an actor. I was like, yeah, no, I don't know what. Where I am, like, I don't know what happened. Like, I feel okay, but this. And then he's like, okay, Sarah, Martina, you guys take Drew to the counselor's office, set him down there, make sure he's okay. And I'm thinking to myself, damn, I got out of math class. This is great. So they escort me.
And I feel great because of my nap.
I feel great because of my math, and I get to get out of math class. It's the last class of the day. So I get, you know, I was just, that's what I was trying to do. I was trying to get out of class. So they escort me down the hall, they sit me down. And they go, Drew, are you just messing with everybody? I'm like, no, honestly, like,
who's Drew?
I'm playing this up. I'm like, no, not at all. They bring the counselor in. She's like, hey, you know, like, what's going on? I'm like, yeah, I just. Like,
and at any point, are you slowing down in your mind? You're like, no, this is working great. I'm gonna get the whole day off, not just math.
I'm thinking, I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna get out of class. I'm like, this is going well. Like, I just gotta like kind of play this up and just keep this going. And like,
can't
you
give
know,
up on the lie.
Can't drop the lie. And, you know, die with the lie.
Mm-hmm.
So they end up calling the police.
Oh, I didn't see that coming.
They call the police. They're so like,
talk about calling your bluff, eh?
Straight up. They're like, okay, Drew, obviously something bad happened. So they
get
bring
the paddy
me,
wagon. They bring tasers.
They bring me into the little nurse's room. There, and I'm down there. And now school's ended. You know what I mean? This whole plan has backfired
your
on me
plan
completely.
To get out early.
Backfire.
It's actually keeping you late.
I'm in the nurse's office, but I'm like, okay, I'm here now. I got to just keep this going. So the
you know, so you're like, okay, now we've got authorities
so the,
involved.
The police come in, right? They're like, they come on in, and they're looking at me. They're like, hey, they're like, okay, yeah. They're like, let's see your pupils, Drew. Okay, pull up. They're like, they, you know, they look at my eyes. They're talking to the nurse and the other police. They're like, yeah, okay, yeah, yeah. His eyes are like, you know, like dinner plates. Like, he's definitely been on drugs.
Oh,
holy shit.
Seven.
Oh, yeah. Shit is backfiring worse.
So I'm like, what? I'm like, what's going on, officer? Like, is everything okay? Hey, like I'm kind of like getting my memory back. he's like, yeah, you know, we've been hearing. He's like, what did you eat today? He's like, we've been hearing about kids being like they've been laced with drugs in the school, and this has actually been happening.
What?
So we thought this is maybe what it
but
was.
Did it? Is that something that was happening?
Kids were getting people had like put drugs. This is people put drugs in people's food in my high school, and like and people were having crazy reactions.
Oh, students were doing it for fun.
Students were doing this, yeah.
Okay.
So I, yeah, all right. They thought that was one of those cases, but yeah, they called my mom down. She had to leave her. She's a school teacher, which is freaking hilarious. So she's a school teacher. She leaves her school out of Mission, comes to Aldergrove, a few towns away, early, and gets me out of the situation. They take me home, and she takes me home, and in the car, she's like, you really didn't lose your memory, did you?
Oh yeah, she's been dealing with your shit forever. Yeah.
I'm like, no. She's like, don't you ever do that again. Don't you make me leave school? What were you thinking, Drew? Like, oh, wait, sorry.
Did and she like, thank you for getting her out of work early?
No.
Because she's on salary.
No, she did salary, not. She wasn't happy about that.
You know what?
Chill.
Maybe I didn't know, but yeah.
There's a that was good. I got one more story I want to ask you about.
Way farther than I expected.
Oh, yeah. Every story I tell you guys, just expect it. There's always another fold to it.
You almost ended up on the news. They almost had like Channel 5 and be like, yeah. The boy who lost his memory math class.
You laid down on some desks
and turned around, didn't know where he was. And then you could really, you could have just pushed it and like got away with anything. Just started pissing on the wall, be like.
I would have been the spokesperson for children and brains.
You could have finally taken off all your clothes and probably gotten away with it. That was your chance.
Oh, nice. Man. That was my chance. I blew it. No.
Yeah.
What was your other story? Sorry. Were you going to say something, Trevor?
I was going to get him.
Here, I'll show you here.
I wouldn't mind hearing this story. We're getting low on time. I don't, but it's a quick.
Oh, you want to hear the? Oh,
that's
man.
A good one.
I can't Jeff would tell like it. That Jeff story, would... dude. No,
wait, can't you just show me what the thing says?
I can't. There's.
I can't read cursive.
Yeah, no, that's there's like liability there.
Oh,
oh.
You don't want to incriminate yourself.
Yeah.
For all the 25 people that are listening to us, shout out to the fans.
No, you never
shout
know.
Shout out to the police.
Hey, you never know, honestly.
damn. Okay.
I can't. But let me see here. If okay. Anything else good on the? Oh man. Okay. Okay, I got two other really good stories, and I'll let you guys.
We don't have time for two. We might have time for one.
Pick one here. Okay, so either.
Let me see.
Okay, another high school prank. I feel like we're on the topic of that, so I could tell you one more really good high school prank.
Okay,
there's that, and then there's one of how my stepdad made me make money. I would rather just
you know what?
That
save
out.
One for the next time you're on. Yeah. Go with the prank one. We are in a school setting here.
Yeah, so school setting. So back again, I'm pushing the boundaries in high school here. So notable mentions. Broke into the science department, stole a big bag of marbles, released it in the upper hallway, you know, at lunch break.
Nice. Cartoonish.
Right?
That's kids, Tom
are,
and Jerry
kids are running out for lunch and they're spilling
Tom
and falling.
And
oh, yeah.
Home Alone 3, lost in school.
these kind of things. That was one of them. But this is a funny story because I had a rivalry with this girl that I went to school with. And rivalry to the extent that we took like debate class together, and we would always be debating, we'd always be arguing back and forth.
So you love to hate each other.
We love to hate each other. You know, it started out classic where she had a crush on me, I didn't really feel it, and then all of a sudden this was like this crazy back and forth, like
sexual tension.
Yeah, do we like each other? Do we not? But we're always arguing.
Yeah,
adolescent
sex would have been great.
Like, do I hate you or do I want to? Yeah.
But keep in mind, you know, you're 15 or 14 years
old.
The kind of
passion you can only get when two people are hate fucking each other.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at this point, like I've made out with a girl and felt a girl's boob over top of the bra. Sweet. You know, I don't know about
that's
girls.
That's my preference.
I don't know what girls like. I don't understand. Right.
Our way was more interesting, just so you know.
What's that?
Our way made a better story, by the way. More interesting.
Yeah.
So this rivalry.
You were a fucking stud, and there was sexual tension all over the place.
Yeah.
Continue.
Anyway, so she, like, we go back and forth, and any chance that we had to get each other's throats, we would take it.
Ooh.
So this time around, it's summertime. Grade 9, you know, we're closing out the anybody that was in that class will remember this story. It was super, everyone talked about it. So grade 9, it's like, you know, we're getting towards summer, almost the end of the year. And this girl would always bring in Kool-Aid for the class. Her thing was she would bring in this big jug of Kool-Aid.
Buying friends with Kool-Aid, eh?
She was that kind of girl.
In grade 9, because in grade 9 you could buy friends with like, vodka and Kool-Aid.
You know, her thing was that she'd bring Kool-Aid for everybody, and everybody would be like super amped because it was like near summer, it was hot, and she'd bring Kool-Aid for everybody. It was a nice gesture.
Oh, and you hated her for it. I could see it in your eyes.
No, I didn't hate her for it. Because
you didn't do it.
I thought she was ass kissing, and I
was
like,
she was trying to kill you with kindness.
Yeah.
So you were, like, you were,
what move? Is this
you were stripping down your underwear. She was bringing Kool-Aid. You're a nun. She sounds adorable. Actually, hey. If you could hook me up with her, I'd love to have her as a guest on the podcast.
She went on to be like a straight A student. She's like super smart, but
yeah,
Anyway, so she brings in this Kool-Aid, and every day, it was like, you know, she'd bring it in every day. Somebody else would have to be had to take turn making the Kool-Aid. So, you know, all the kids would go out and they, you know, they make the Kool-Aid, they bring it back, everyone would drink it. And I never made the Kool-Aid because, you know, I didn't like her. So finally one day, you know, she's on this little, like, she's been, like, doing this for, like, a couple weeks now.
So she brings the shit and she gets other students to make it?
No, I mean, like, she would do it too sometimes, but, like, you know,
but is
everyone...
But it's a way for her to boss people around.
Everyone would help out and, like, you know, that was the whole, like, purpose was that everybody would help out and, like, do that. But
she's going to be in female management, I bet.
Right, yeah. Like, she had that already and she was a mature
girl. I'd hate to have
girl.
A woman boss. It would kill me.
Yeah. I was going to say something. I can't say.
Yeah, yeah. No support there, eh? Jeff, could you work for a woman?
It's about time that that somebody, you know, just said, yeah, I don't know if I could take them seriously.
It's like seeing a woman read a book. It
as
just
long
gives
as
me a
misandry
direction.
still exists, I think it's fair for, what's the thing called when you hate women?
Misogyny.
Yeah, misogyny. As long as misandry still exists, misogyny is going to exist.
What is misandry?
Oh, that's when
He's
you
glad
hate
you asked.
Men.
What's that?
That's when you hate men.
Oh, that's a thing.
That is a thing.
That is a thing. That's more prominent than misogyny. Almost.
It's actually very prominent.
Less talked about, though.
It's very socially acceptable. They throw it in everything.
It is.
It is. And I'm in a couple groups. Let's not talk about that.
Okay.
he trolls.
Back to you, Drew.
Back to your story.
Okay. So anyway, yeah.
Which I totally forget. What was the story about?
Oh, okay. We're going to cut her name out. Yeah, cut that out. That is anyway.
Sorry. What was her name again?
So the story that we were talking about was... So anyway, she would make everybody, you know, go
Kool-Aid.
In. She would make Kool-Aid for everybody, and everyone have to take turns
Except
going in.
Except you, because you hate her.
Because I didn't like doing it. So one day, she's like, hey, Drew, I after a few weeks of making this Kool-Aid and stuff like that, she prances over, and she kind of gives me one of those, like, that smirk that just make me, you know, just irk me. And that little, you know, shitting grin on her face, she would say, you know, Drew, I think it's your turn to go make this Kool-Aid, because I've kept it cool this entire time, right? And she feels like she's kept it cool too. And I'm like, okay, I'll go make her Kool-Aid. That's fine. I'll go do that. That's cool. So
she just asked you to make the fucking Kool-Aid.
She's like, make the Kool-Aid, Drew. And I'm like, you know what?
She called him out.
Bullshit.
She called me out in such a nice way, backhanded kind of way. And I was like,
in front of people too?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
She's a girl in grade 9. All they have is.
But what was her tone? If you're an actor, could you reenact how she asked you?
Yeah, I'm sitting there, you know, and she came over, and you know, Drew, I think today I would like you to make the Kool-Aid.
Oh, fuck that bitch.
As if it was like, you know, my turn, and like everyone had a turn, and I was like, you know,
drink
I can't
the
say
fucking.
Her name. I can't say it. I've got to cut that out again. I said, okay, you know what? I said, you know what? All right, I'll go make a Kool-Aid. Okay. Mm. Yeah, I got you on this one. So I grab the jug, I grab the Kool-Aid mix, and I walk into the hall, and there's a water fountain there that you fill it with water and you mix the Kool-Aid up. And a thought occurs to me, because I'm upset, a thought occurs to me. I say, you know what? I'm going to walk right by this water fountain, and I'm going to go right to the washer. So I go to the washroom. I go to the men's washroom, and I go into the toilet.
Yeah, you do.
And I scoop full of like a big jug
from
full
the tank or from the bowl.
From the bowl.
Oh, he didn't go in the bowl. Tank. There's a lid.
It's a school. They don't want you hiding stuff in there.
So I go into the bowl and I scoop up a bunch of water and I'm like, yeah, you're gonna like this. Yeah, you're gonna love that Kool-Aid. Okay. I sprinkle in the crystals, mix it all on up. Bring it back to class.
Wait, what flavor was it?
Oh, but this must have been cherry Kool-Aid or something like that.
Red wasn't Kool-Aid. Anymore.
Yeah.
That's going to taste like ass.
So I bring this Kool-Aid back to the class, and, you know, I'm trying to play it cool. Mm-hmm. Sit it down on the table, and I'm pulling, like, I'm watching kids go up and drink this freaking Kool-Aid.
But you don't hate everybody in this class. You just hate the one girl. So you're watching.
Well, he's about to have no friends.
25 just innocent bystanders in this prank towards one girl.
You know,
I can't stand it. I worked in fast food when I was a teenager. I can't stand it when people fuck with food.
It was my, like, I think I was just trying to put a middle finger to her and, like, what she was trying to represent and do. And anyway, so all these
and
kids.
And the Kool-Aid, because apparently you hate Kool-Aid.
Apparently I just
no one complained about the flavor.
So here's what's happening.
And you're part black. I mean, I feel like that's sacrilege. That's worse. That's worse than the nun thing.
Well, here's more part of the story. So everyone's drinking this Kool-Aid, and I'm sitting there in my desk, and I'm pulling the classic, like, holding everything I can in and trying, like, using every muscle in my body not to laugh, right? I'm like, you know, like, it's coming out of me so bad. And these kids are drinking this Kool-Aid. And this girl looks over at me. She goes, the girl that brings them the Kool-Aid, my rival, she says, Drew, aren't you going to have some Kool-Aid? I said, hey, you know what?
Yeah,
I
was inevitably.
Like, I'm good. I don't need any Kool-Aid. She's like, I know you did something to the Kool-Aid.
Oh, shit.
Oh. She knows.
I'm like, how do you know? I was like, you asked me to make this Kool-Aid. I went out. Now there's a thing.
Oh, now actor Drew is coming in.
No, there's a thing going on in class. Everyone's like standing up like, what's going on? I'm like, you know what? I was like, yeah, I went out there and made the Kool-Aid for you. And I did a nice thing. I was like, we've been good. It's almost summer. Like, why are you trying to create drama? She's like, all you got to do, Drew, is go over and drink some Kool-Aid. And I'll believe you. And I was like, you don't think I want to drink this Kool-Aid? Oh, you don't think I won't drink this Kool-Aid? Oh, really? Okay, well, fine. Well, I'm going to go over, and I'm going to drink this Kool-Aid, and I'm going to prove you wrong. And I'm like spitballing in my head. I'm like, how do I get out?
Dump the Kool-Aid on the floor.
Keeps getting worse and worse and worse. And the teacher stands up, you know, and he's like, Drew, like, what did you do? I said, I didn't do anything. He's like, Drew.
You've got to drink it now.
Drink the Kool-Aid. I'm like, okay, fine.
Is he drinking Kool-Aid too?
He hasn't drinking any Kool-Aid, no. So he's like, okay, Drew, go do it. So I'm like, okay, fine. So I walk over. I pour myself a glass, and everyone's staring at me, and I'm freaking out. And I look at everybody. I'm like, I have a glass in my hand.
You're like,
I'm like, you know what? Screw y'all! I put the cup down. I was like, oh my god, people are spitting water! Like, everyone spits out their water and their juice. They're like, holy shit! After this,
all right, I did something to the Kool-Aid. I'm not gonna say what, but.
And she comes over. She's like, I know you did something. She has the spoon that you mixed it with. It was like a wooden spoon. She starts hitting me over the head with the spoon. And she was bigger than me, too. She was bigger than me,
too. Yeah?
And I'm underneath the desk, and I'm laughing. I'm like, I got you. And she's beating me. She's like, I can't believe you did this. It was like.
Biological warfare,
it
bitch.
It was so funny. And everybody, yeah, it was good times. And I remember not telling my friends.
Everybody else drank the Kool-Aid.
I had a few guy friends in the class that I was like, don't drink the Kool-Aid.
All right.
And they were all like, okay. And so, yeah, my friends, we're good, but everybody else, I'm sorry. So,
you know what?
To the class,
if somebody
agreed
in your class, if you can't trust them to keep a secret, then yeah, they deserve the Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know why I did it, but again, in grade 9, 15 years old, like, man, what can I get away with?
That's super funny.
Apparently, Drew will do it if he just doesn't really even like it.
She was expecting that, though.
She knew. That's the thing.
No, like, she expected. That's why she asked you. Yeah. She expected you to. I wonder if she was just two steps ahead.
She was. She definitely was. She's smart. She's a very smart girl.
You know, yeah. I kind of want you guys to rival as adults because I think it'll be an interesting thing.
The gang brings back the rivalry.
Yeah.
But that is time for us. We plugged away episode 3. You know what? That was really good, Drew. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
And again, look for Drew as your character was Lover Boy.
Dude, Power Rangers.
Number 2 in Power Rangers. Look for him there.
Oh, yeah. Check out Somewhere Between. I play Jesse Reed in that show. Again, I pop up here and out through the season. But tune into that Tuesdays, 10 p.m. Check that out. And then later on this fall, I will be entering the town of Riverdale, which is based off the Archie comics. Check me out there. My character's name.
I used to be a big Archie fan.
Yeah, character's name is Fangs Fogarty, part of the Southside Serpents gang. Look for it. Should be fun.
All right. Jeff, is there anything you want to promote?
No.
All right. Well, you can always check us out on our website at ineverwanttobeyoungagain.com. You can check us out on Facebook for I Don't Never Want to Be Young Again podcast and send us mail. Like I said, I'd love to get any mail at I Never Want to Be Young Again gmail.com. Send us hate mail. Jeff loves hate.
Fucking love it.
Next week, we are going to reach out to Jackie Chan and hopefully get him to do the podcast. I don't know what country he lives in. His English is choppy. It'll probably be our worst episode, but yeah, good for us. Showing a little diversity. Thank you again, and see you next week, next Friday.
Don't get stuck from the get-go, go man, go. Oh, brother, not another motherfucker, gotta go now.
Right, dude?
That's right. side. The going gets tough from the get-go. Go, man, go. Oh, brother, not another motherfucker gonna go now. Isn't that right, dude?
That's right, Gina.
Anybody know how to get old, Jackie Chan?
The going gets tough from the get-go. Go, man, go. Oh, brother, not another motherfucker gonna go.